Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ. With your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer.
Oh,
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. And this radio show is being broadcast from Stevie B's Media Production studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts or my guests on this radio show, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can call Stevie B Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer, that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with my special guest speaker, Grady Jones, and also my co-host, Lou Gilbert, as they break unto our listeners the bread of life. We also ask your blessings upon their families that support their efforts, that may they continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners who are tuning into this radio show via Blog Talk Radio as well as through social media. We pray that they may listen well, that they may consider their eternal stance before you, and that their hearts may be pricked, and it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're just so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. We recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you will forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this evening. In the first segment, my special guest speaker is Grady Jones. He serves with the Church of Christ in Runner Rapids, North Carolina. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will not have a guest in our Community Corner segment on this evening's broadcast. And to close out the show, in the last segment, my co-host Lou Gilbert, he serves as the evangelist for the Overbrook Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my special guest speaker, Grady Jones. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
If we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we are willing to confess our own righteousness, he will wash away all our transgressions. If we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now my special guest speaker, Grady Jones, and his subject, Working Together in the Vineyard of the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Stevie B, for having me on the show. My name is Brother Grady Jones. I'm a member of the Church of Christ that worships in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We used to be the Emporia congregation, but we joined forces with the Roanoke Rapids congregation, and now we meet in Roanoke Rapids. My subject this evening, Working Together in the Vineyard of the Lord. And as a Christian, we should be working, and I think a lot of times we miss out on the benefits of working together. Before all of this COVID stuff started, we used to meet in members' houses or at the building and have an evangelism session where we would call our friends and family members and coworkers, and we would call them or text them to try to set up Bible studies with them. And we would do Bible studies right there on the phone, or, you know, we would schedule a Bible study for another time if they weren't available. But we saw really good zeal with the members. Members really enjoyed that. And also, you know, people who we spoke with enjoyed going through the Bible study as well. And when we used to go out in the streets, a lot of times we would talk to people, and people you may think are like drug dealers or what have you. When you talk to them and you start sharing God's word, a lot of times they would open up. And even after we left them, they would thank us for, you know, at least sharing the word of God, because they could tell that we cared about their soul. So when we work together, there's the benefits, and the Lord commanded us to, you know, work together. Our passage that we're going to look at, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look at starting in verse 1. It's Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. I thank Stevie B and those who help him with the show. And it's just a blessing to be able to come on and speak with you tonight. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. The Bible there reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way." So here we have a householder, and if we apply this parable, God is the householder, the world is his vineyard, and he expects us to go out and to work in his vineyard. And the great thing about God is that he has promised us eternal life, and he has promised us a reward. He has made these promises. So many times mankind or people we know make us promises and never come through, and oftentimes we make promises that we don't keep. So, but God, we know he's faithful, and we know it's impossible for God to lie. So God has made us these promises that he will bless us with eternal life. And we know we don't earn our salvation, but at the same time, God expects us to be working in his kingdom. So here we have this householder, and people are standing there idle. And God doesn't want us to be idle in his kingdom. He wants us to be working in his kingdom. He wants us to be busy every day working in his kingdom. And there are about 7.8 billion souls, most of which souls are not prepared. If they die, they're not prepared to meet the Lord. So it's up to us as Christians to work together to take the gospel to these people. So here we have in this parable, some are there standing idle. And verse 4, and he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. God has made us a promise that he will bless us. He will give us eternal life. We'll be saved. We'll enjoy knowing that we help others get to heaven as well. Verse 5, and again he went out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. So this householder, he had work that needed to be done. And God has work that needs to be done. God is not going to come here and do the work for us. We're going to, as members of the church, we're going to have to do the work. And you often hear the saying that we are God's hands and his feet. And that's so true. So God expects us to be working in his kingdom and busy in his kingdom. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And that's a powerful question. Why do we stand idle? Many times we may be, and I look back on my Christian life, many times we have been Christians for many, many years, 20, 30, 40, and sometimes even 50 years. And we look back on our life, especially I'm kind of focused on evangelism. When it comes to evangelism, you know, can we think of anybody who we have helped, or have we tried to set up a Bible study, or tried to encourage a family member or coworker, or have we ever given out a tract or invitation to worship, you know, with come to worship with us? So these are things, if we haven't been doing, we need to start doing right now. And as we go through this parable, we're going to see that God is so merciful and gracious that even if we have wasted 20, 30, 40 years and we start now, God was and we stay faithful unto death, God will still give us a crown of life. That's God's goodness and his mercy right there. But as you can see, some went out the third hour, which is 9 a.m., and usually during this time, the workday consisted of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., a little longer than our normal workday. I'm just getting off not too long ago, but, you know, that's a little longer than what I usually, you know, work. But 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., the third hour was 9 a.m., the 11th hour was 5 p.m. So some were standing idle. They had been there idle all day. And many times, I'm sure if you ever worked a job, some people do more talking than actual working. So we don't want to be like that in the Lord's vineyard. We want to be actually working. And when he comes, we want to make sure that we're working when he comes. So many times, like on the job, people don't work unless the manager or the boss is, the boss is coming, so let's get busy. No, the Lord wants us working all the time. So let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 20, verse 7. They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So they knew that 11 was 5 p.m., so it was getting late. It was getting late. It was almost time for quitting. They were in no position to negotiate their salary or say, no, I'm not going to work. You know, no, they needed the money. So, boom, they had to go work. So we want salvation. We are it's not up to us. So, oh, Lord, I don't want to work in your – I'd rather be – no, we need to be working in God's kingdom. The time is running out. Our time is running out. I'm 51. Lord's will, on the 26th, I'll be 52. Some of you are younger than me. Some of you may be older than I am. But nonetheless, time is running out. We're one day closer to eternity than we were yesterday. So it's about the 11th hour right now, and it's time for us to work. And we have the promise from the householder that whatsoever is right, he will definitely give it to us. Verse 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. So we think about all the labors that Jesus did and Paul the apostle did. He talked about how he was beaten, how he was hungry, how he was naked, how he was cold, how he did all these things for the Lord. But then someone who has just become a Christian, they could be saved as well, just like the apostle Paul, even though they didn't go through all the things that Paul went through. So we have a promise that whatsoever is right, I will pay thee, and God will indeed do that. So that's a powerful parable that Jesus taught. And we learned that we are to be working, we are to be busy in the vineyard. Let's look at some verses on working for the Lord. The first verse we're going to look at is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. That is Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he have done, and there is no respect of persons. So with God, he has promised us that we're going to receive this reward of the inheritance. Isn't it great when you get an earthly reward? Say if somebody tipped you, or you get a good bonus, or you do a business deal and it works out in your favor, or you buy some stocks and you end up, making a gain. That's a good feeling. But imagine how great it would be for the Lord to give us a reward. That would just be so awesome. So whatever we do, whether we are doing evangelism, whether we are inviting people to worship, whether we are helping the sick, whether we're feeding the poor, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And also think about the verse, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, that talks about, see a man diligent in his work, this man shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before obscure men. So God wants us to be busy. God wants us to be productive in his kingdom. But God wants us to work together too. We have been, I have a website, oneononestudies.com. And the vision is to have some members of the church set up Bible studies and other members of the church actually conduct the Bible studies. And that's been going really good. A young lady, Brittany from Africa, her friend in Nigeria, I did a Bible study with him, and I'm still doing the Bible studies on WhatsApp with him. And a couple of Sundays ago, he was baptized. And that was just great because that was her friend that she referred. And just imagine if all of us as members of the Lord's church, and it didn't take hardly any of my time to do that, and didn't take Brittany much of her time either. She just, hey, you want to do a Bible study with Brother Jones on WhatsApp? And so just imagine if all of us worked together as a team. Some members set up the Bible study for those who may not be well-versed in the Bible, or maybe a new Christian, or we all have different talents. That's a great thing about, the Lord and our abilities. We all have different talents. Some people are people persons. I think about our Brother Bailey's wife, Sister Bailey. She's a people person. And, tons of people come to her for this and that, and her family members. She's kind of like the hub of everybody. She's a people person. I'm not as much of a people person. So we all have different talents, though. So if somebody is like a people person, they'd be great at setting up studies. Just asking a cousin or a relative, hey, you want a Bible study? Boom, somebody else that's more versed in the Bible who loves studying the Bible with individuals, they can conduct the Bible study. We have a platform where we try to keep all of this organized, and that's churchofchrist.team, churchofchrist.team. And there's a CRM, or we call it, I like to call it a SRM, Soul Relationship Manager, where we manage our Bible studies and the time and all of that. And we want all of this to grow. But all of us, we have to work together in order for this to happen. And in the Lord's church, the great thing about the parable is that they all got a reward. They got that penny a day. The same thing in the Lord's church. When we pass from this life, it doesn't matter how much money I had or how big, I was in the brotherhood or any of those things. Can I get my one? Do I qualify for my penny a day? Do you qualify for your penny a day? And as we know, the glory and honor goes to the Lord. So whatsoever we do, do it heartily, not unto men, not as unto men, but unto God. We've been studying the book of John. And John talked about those who love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Those Pharisees, how they believed on Jesus, but they refused to confess him. Why? Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And as you get older, at least as I get older, I'm really understanding that people can praise you. People can put you down. One minute they're praising you, one minute they can put you down, and all of that. And we're the same way. People, humans are fickle. And even in the book of John, Jesus talked about how he wouldn't commit himself to man because he knew man. So he knows that we're fickle. Sometimes we're happy to go to worship. Sometimes, you know, you almost got to make us go to worship, and how long is it going to last, and all that. We're just fickle people. So, you know, God wants us to be wholeheartedly serving him. Our next scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're looking at a couple of more. I'm about out of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor is never in vain in the Lord, though it may look vain to us or look like somebody's not, you know, listening to what we're saying or we're not getting the response that we want. But our worship, our labor, our work is never in vain to the Lord. So Paul, in this beautiful chapter, lets us know that we're going to put off this physical body. Paul said there's a physical body and there is a spiritual body. We're going to put off this physical body. And knowing that, we need to make sure that we're steadfast and we're abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's look at the opportunities, too, that are around us. Many times we let these great opportunities pass us by. And I remember a brother at church, a man we had tried to get a Bible study with. And you oftentimes hear that, you know, they are too busy or whatever to study the Bible. And that gentleman ended up passing away. So many times we hate to hear that, but we often hear that. And sometimes we don't do what we can. I know I've been guilty of that. We don't do all that we can to make ourselves available to have Bible studies or to set time aside during the week to call on, you know, people we know who are not members of the Lord's church. Just like in the parable, it's the 11th hour. We only have one more hour to work, you know, figuratively speaking. So let's do our very, very best for the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. So we can talk about winning souls. We can talk about feeding the poor. We can talk about edification. We can talk about all these things. And along the lines of edification, think about how many members, especially now, that are really falling away. The devil has inflicted a blow against the Lord's church with all this COVID stuff and all of that. So think of how many members who are kind of, you know, weak or absent before all this happened. Now they have totally given up. So if we just talk about it, then nothing will get done. But if we go out and do the work, then we can help, win some of those souls back to the Lord as well. So I hope that you, this lesson was profitable for you. It was profitable for me. We're not going to live in this life forever. And why not do your very best for the Lord? Why not think of ways you can further God's kingdom? God has given us all these physical blessings. Many of us, we have good jobs. We have, a place to live. We have family members. We have all these wonderful blessings. Some people got 2, 3, 4 cars and all kind of blessings. So let's use these blessings for the kingdom of the Lord. Thank you so much for your attention. And my email is helpyouevangelize@gmail.com. helpyouevangelize@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions or you want to get involved in the work. If you're available to set up Bible studies or you're available to conduct Bible studies, we'll send Bible studies your way, and we would love to be able to do that. So I turn the lesson and the show back over to you, Stevie B. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak. I really enjoyed it. I hope you have too.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Give me a song to sing
like Jesus
when I am face to face
when my storm. Give me the voice.
Help me to sing, Lord, in the middle of my trial.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, just contact me at Stevie B's New Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Or you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Due to the coronavirus pandemic outbreak, I will not be making any public announcements until further notice regarding public meetings or assemblies, but I will be making announcements about these events that are happening here on social media. On Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there'll be a nationwide gospel call that's sponsored by the Church of Christ in Highland Heights from Houston, Texas. And the telephone number to this call is 857-216-6700, and the access code is 328-497. This is a nationwide outreach to those who are not members of the Churches of Christ, and the speakers will be presenting the basic salvation message for them to learn what they must do in order to be saved, and also information regarding the Churches of Christ. In addition, it is intended to edify and strengthen the faith of those who are Christians. On Tuesday evening, the Dale Crest Church of Christ from San Antonio, Texas, presents the Women's Virtual Bible Class at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on www.zoom.com, and the class ID number is 821-3692-8262. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Church of Christ Ministers presents the Virtual Sermon Series 101, and the theme is Timeless Truth and Truthless Times, live on Facebook and on YouTube. You can see the YouTube channel, some of them has come preaching. And for more information, please contact the Arlington Road Church of Christ at www.arlingtonroadcoc.com, as well as the Hilltop Church of Christ at www.hilltopcoc.org. Daily at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, the Ladies in Christ prayer line, hosted by the Church of Christ at Lafayette, Louisiana. That telephone number to this prayer line is 605-472-5203, and the access code is 514-859. My co-host, Steve Porter, on the Gospel Light Radio Show, has written a new book entitled God, Grace, and You, and you can order this book from the 21st Century Christian Catalog. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Telephone number to the live show is 713-955-0508. Or type in your search bar, www.blogtalkradio.com/Gospel Light Radio Show. And the first Monday of the month, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. And that show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I have one of my co-hosts will be on the broadcast with me presenting a lesson from the Word of God. And then on Tuesday evening each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week on that broadcast, I have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting the message from the Word of God. And we also have the Community Corner segment. That segment is designed for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. Also, I have three co-hosts on that show. Lou Gilbert, he's an evangelist for the Oakbrook Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Shauna Older, she's with the Great Way Church of Christ there in Nashville, Tennessee. She has the Mid-Tennessee Singles Ministry. And Isa Mullins, he serves with the Helen Street Church of Christ here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And then on Thursday evening, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have eight co-hosts on that radio show who will be presenting a lesson from the Word of God. And each week I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posting to one of my co-hosts on that live show. Then on Friday night at our new time from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And on that radio show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the Sweet Sound of Voices. We also have the Story Glory segment that we do every first Friday of the month. I'm actually interviewing the artists that we play on this radio show. And my next scheduled interview will be on March the 2nd, I do believe. I think that's the right date, March 2nd. It's the first Friday of the month, and I'll be interviewing Kevin Koontz. He's a core director for the group Straighter Road out of Redmond, Washington. And on this Friday night, on February the 12th, I have my special guest on that show will be Mia Purpose. Will be debuting her new single on that broadcast. And then on February the 19th, I'll be doing my top 20 countdown show for the month of February. This will be the first countdown show for the year 2021. I have a new list for 2021. And on February the 26th, I'll be featuring two artists on that show, Eric Jackson and his father, Irving T. Jackson, from Palm Bay, Florida. They have a new single that we'll be debuting on that show as well. My on-demand episode, if you can't catch any of these live shows, wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from, just type in Stevie B's Media Production, and you'll see all of these shows that we're producing here on a weekly basis. Some of the major platforms that I always like to encourage people to look at is Spotify, Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and YouTube, just to name a few. Now, I have a new sponsorship manager for those who like to be sponsors for these radio shows. Her name is Michelle Marco from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And if you'd like to be a sponsor for any of these radio shows, just give her a call at 954-687-4705. And I have some sponsors I'd like to just give a shout out to, because I really do appreciate all of my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois. Her company is called Organo. Her company slogan is a health product for healthy living. And also Cheryl Marat, she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leaders. She's been serving with Northern Haiti for 20 plus years, and they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourself. Please visit and donate to at Haiti at www.compassionhaitileader.faith. And Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director Crematory Services out of DeSoto, Texas. Certainly appreciate them. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of Tucker Platt's Pearl out of Little Rock, Arkansas. Certainly appreciate him. And Yvonne Blazing Cracker Duke out of Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate her. And Melvin Jackson from High Point, North Carolina. And Marquis Coleman from Charlotte, North Carolina. They have a company called Unique Transportation Auto Car Hauling out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Certainly appreciate them. And Stephanie Booker Wilson from Greensboro, North Carolina. She has Stephanie Stone's local studio. Certainly appreciate her. And Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas. The owner is Mark and Charlotte Carroll. Certainly appreciate them. And Ordained Faith Publishing out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Certainly appreciate them as well. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate. We want to edify. We want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude my program announcements. Stay tuned. My co-host Lou Gilbert is up next.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Will you forgive me? For I've done wrong. And will you accept me, Jesus, as I kneel at your throne, dear Lord? And all of my brothers, he will always criticize and accuse. Yes, he will. But I know that my Jesus, he will make me brand new. Strong enough to clean me up or endure again.
Please wash me free from the stain of all of my sin.
And Lord,
please use me,
'cause I'm ready at thy bidding, Lord. And they each have a stone, dear Lord. But you knelt beside me, Jesus, and my fears are all gone. Praise God, 'cause you give me peace
that surpasses the mind.
And I know that in Jesus, you'll admit that
we've all needed a second chance. And it was only because of His grace and His mercy that we're here today. Because the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And see, repentance, that's the key. Because in repentance, that's where you learn to turn around.
Second chance.
And God gives you a second chance. You turn from selfishness, turn toward godliness. You turn from anger, turn toward joy. You turn from hatred, turn toward love. My brother, my sister, God will give you a second chance. If you just turn. Till you hear, well, but you got to turn around for your
second chance.
You got to put your hand in God's hand. Turn around for your
second chance.
Just ask the Lord to you.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now my co-host Lou Gilbert and his subject, Glory in the Cross.
Yes, good afternoon, good evening. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. And the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord say so. I may ask the question, has God been good to you? Has God blessed your life? Has God brought you from perhaps a mighty, mighty long way? We certainly ought to give thanks and praise to our great God. No wonder David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you. I'm glad to be in the house. I'm glad to be in the house tonight. I'm talking about the house that Jesus built. Not the house that James built, not the house that John built, not even the house that Peter dared try to build, but the house that Jesus built. You may remember Jesus took with him on one occasion three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. He took them on the mountain that we call Transfiguration. And the Bible says while he was on that mountain that we call Transfiguration, that Moses appeared unto him and Elijah appeared unto him, and Jesus appeared in his glorified state, if you will. And the Bible says they were talking to Jesus about what he would do shortly thereafter. And then the Bible says that Peter got happy. Peter was sleepy. He was half sleeping. And you know how sometimes when we're half asleep, we say things we don't really understand. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the Bible says, while he yet spake, a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of that cloud and said, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He was talking about Jesus. And so tonight we are here to hear about Jesus. Not Moses. Moses is okay in his time, at his time. Elijah was okay in his time, the great prophet, and Moses, the great emancipator, the great lawgiver. But now it's time to hear Jesus. It's time to hear what the word of Jesus is all about. I'm grateful again tonight to be here. Thankful to our great illustrious host, Brother Stevie B. Stevie Butler is just doing an outstanding job with this radio platform all over the world. We thank him so very much for his time and his talent and the gifts that God has given him for always encouraging us and inspiring us with words of the gospel and, of course, great information and those wonderful songs. I bring you greetings again from the Church of Christ that meets in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, known as the Overbrook Park Church of Christ. I'm privileged to have served here for a number of years, and we're just grateful that God is still in the blessing business. Even during this pandemic, God is still blessing us in a mighty, mighty way. We want you to come visit with us Of course, right now we're online. You can check out our Facebook page, the Overbrook Park Church of Christ Facebook page, for all of our service times and to hear a word from the Lord as well as a message of inspiration on a daily and weekly basis. Come with me now to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I want to read verses 11 through 14, and I'll take a text in verse 14, just to bring us up to the context here. Galatians chapter 6, and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." Verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But I may never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through that which the world has been crucified, and I to the world." My subject tonight, my friends, is very simple. Glory in the cross. Glory in the cross. Paul says again, "But I may never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Many in our world today live to boast and boast to live. You know, it has become a way of life for many. We boast of our educational pursuits, our financial endeavors, our physical and mental abilities. We boast of our wisdom and knowledge, our in-depth theological insights, and to some, even their magnetism is celebrated. We boast of our civic activities, our social endeavors. We even claim and brand our followers. Even as a nation, we boast of being a superpower militarily. We brag of involvement in third world countries and boast of being influential in every corner of the globe. In our homes, we boast of our flat screens, fast cars, and fat bank accounts. We boast of our sons and daughters' athletic and academic achievements. Our house is always the biggest and most expensive and in the best neighborhoods. We boast of the gates in our communities, then in our churches. Yes, we bring it there as well. Membership size, baptisms, stewardship programs, convert, anti-backsliding, expensive, the expense of our buildings, and the number of turkeys we hand out. Just about anything we can think of, from the children's nursery to worship and praise leaders, you name it, we will boast on it and make it appear just a little, sometimes a lot, better than it really is. Stay with me now. You know, they've done some behavioral experiments at the Harvard University, and they found that 40% of everyday speech is devoted to telling others what we feel or think. It feels so rewarding to the brain that the subjects in the study couldn't help but sharing their thoughts. It's called self-disclosure, even to the degree that people were willing to forego money in order to talk about themselves. Dare I say, many are addicted to boasting, and it seems that some just can't help themselves. However, the 18th century theologian and hymn writer Isaac Watts penned these familiar words: "When I survey the wondrous cross, the Prince of Glory died, My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. When I consider the cross of Christ, I cannot boast. I cannot find it in me to brag on my own accomplishments. The cross defeats and destroys even the smallest notion of self-pride or boastfulness on our part. Compared to that which was done on the cross, my life is minuscule, small, tiny, lowercase, and unimpressive. When I, my friends, consider the cross of Jesus Christ, and then consider my life, I'm forced to hang my head and repent of every sin of pride, self-righteousness, or self-promotion, every self-absorbed thought, every attempt at being more than God made me, every high thought and every lofty level I've placed myself must come crumbling down when I consider the cross, because it's so not about me. And so the question this evening is, why do I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ? First, I glory in the cross because it has changed how I look at the world. How you see something changes everything about you. Paul said, the world has been crucified to me. Remember, it was Paul who wrote, to live is Christ. He wrote, I am crucified with him. He understood that he was baptized into Christ's death. His outlook on life had changed. All at once, all that he once was and all that he held pride to had now been turned in on itself. All of his accomplishments have become rubbish to him. Hear Paul well in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4 says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, he says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And now he considered himself blessed to be just a fool for Christ. He was blessed to be a leaky vessel for Jesus. He was blessed to be among the very dregs of the world in order to preach the glorious gospel to the downtrodden, to the lonely, and the oppressed. He was able to turn from the world and all of its boasting and suffer and be rejected like Christ. That's what the cross he glorified in represents. It represents the suffering and rejection that Christ endured. Christ was cut off from the world and separated from God on that cross, but he was highly exalted upon completion. To Paul, any glory or boasting about anything but the suffering, rejection, and the exaltation of Christ was simply a waste of time. He didn't care about those external things that we concern ourselves with. He didn't care about power. He didn't care about posture. He didn't care about prestige. He didn't care about place. It was all about the Prince of Peace and the cross of cruelty. The world to Paul was dead. The world to Paul was crucified and held nothing for him. It held no knowledge for him to gain. It held no wisdom for him to desire. It held no achievement for him to aim. It held no fellowship for him to join and no hope for him to share. The world no longer held any attraction to him. Oh, that's the problem sometimes in this world. The world is too attractive to us. We want to see everything the world has. We want to experience everything the world has. We want to do everything the world says we're big and bad enough to do. But no, the world no longer had any attraction to him. He was not drawn to it. He could not be lured to it. The world may have called and beckoned him like a freed slave. He was liberated. He was emancipated and could not and did not answer the old slave master. You know, the old slave master, that devil no longer had any power over him. The old master, the worldly system, was dead to him. And so the cross of Jesus Christ represents his freedom papers, if you will. There was no way he could go back. He could not look back. He could not dare back. He was free to live for Christ and to die for Christ. Remember, the crucifixion was a horrible, terrible sight. It was inhuman. Just the sight of the cross could strike fear in the heart of any man. It was likened to a lynching tree, a sheer terror in the sight or the sight or the thought of it. And so the world, he said, had no beauty for me, no lure for me. He wasn't trying to chase the popular trend. He wasn't trying to chase the popular outfit. He wasn't trying to put himself with the popular people. The world and all that it has and all that it tried to lure him, the world had no beauty. The world had no desire to Paul because of the cross. Not only has it changed the way I see the world, Paul says, it has changed the way the world sees me. Look at the text again. Paul says, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, the world has changed the way because I see the world differently. It has changed the way the world sees me, the cross, because of the cross. It has changed the way the world sees me. Paul said, I am crucified to the world. You know, the world looks differently at me now that I've made my escape from the grips by the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, as long as the world looks at me through the lenses of kindness, God gets no glory. Y'all didn't get that. You see, as long as the world looks at me through the lens of kindness, God gets no glory. Only when I'm looked at with disdain does the world, disdained by the world, rather, does my work count for anything. You see, too many times we want to be looked upon favorably by the world. We want to fit in with the world. We want to look like the world and dress like the world and act like the world. We want the world to look at us kindly. But Paul is saying, only when I am looked at with disdain by the world does my work count for anything. You see, the world once saw me as an accomplished, but now it sees me as an adversary. It once saw me as an acquaintance, but now it sees me as a stranger. It once saw me as an ally, now it sees me as an antagonist. How does the world see you, my friend? And how do you want the world to see you? Do you want the world to see you as a friend? Do you want the world to see you as somebody who will always go along with the program? That was not in the mind of Paul. You see, at one time, the world saw me as a friend, but now it sees me as a foe. I once was alive to the world, and now to the world, I'm just a dead man. So Paul became, if you will, a pariah, an exile, a persona non grata, because he dared to preach the truth and would not compromise. They tried to get him to compromise. He would not compromise. They tried to get him to look the other way. He would not look the other way. They tried to get him to go backwards. He would not go backwards. And so to the world, Paul was crucified. He was cut off. He was no longer what he once was in their sight. You see, Paul, if you will, was a marked man because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He became public enemy number one. He says here in the text, others were compromising the gospel, calling for the circumcision of the flesh in order to avoid persecution. Now watch somebody who always compromises because they don't want to get in trouble. Perhaps you had a friend in your elementary school days who would do everything to avoid trouble or persecution. And so while, again, others were compromising the gospel, calling for circumcision of the flesh in order to avoid persecution, Paul wouldn't do that. They were clinging to this earthly life. They would rather switch, if you will, than fight the good fight. But I like Paul. Paul said, in essence, I'd rather fight than switch. But they held on to their positions and ranking, all to prevent suffering and rejection. Folk would do you that way. They don't like to be suffer. They don't like suffering. They don't like rejection. So they'll say and do anything many times to get out of that. But that was not on Paul's mind. They wanted to be seen in a certain light by the world. And you may ask the question, why does anyone find glory here? Paul said, I glory in the cross. Why does anyone find glory here? Where's the glory in the cross? Well, remember Paul's words. He says in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, Paul was able to understand that I can give up some things in order that I may know Christ. And be found in him, having mine own, not having mine own righteousness, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You see, anything that brought him closer to Christ, if my giving up everything would mean I'm closer to Christ, it's gone. You know, how many times do we love our homes and love our clothes and love all of the material things, I'm trying to say, that we have in this world? But Paul said, all of those things are dung. All of those things are rubbish to me because they brought me further away from Christ. But when I gave those things up, they brought me close to Christ. This brought him closer to Christ and his suffering, so he could boast. He could only boast, not in of himself, but he could only boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. He had to tell the story, not of himself, but of the cross of Christ. You see, he knew that glory, that true glory, comes only through suffering. He knew that glory comes only through being cut off. He knew that glory comes only through being found worthy to be looked down on by the world. And so to this great apostle Paul, he understood, he knew that if I'm going to get anywhere, if I'm going to get closer to Christ, I have to shed some stuff. I have to put some stuff off. I'm not going to glory in my academic lifestyle. I'm not going to glory in the degrees on my wall. I'm not going to glory in the fact that I could go into any town and drop name and be somebody. I'm not going to glory in those things. If I'm going to glory, Paul says, I'm going to glory in the cross, because the cross made it all possible. The cross made everything possible when Christ went to the cross and he hung in between the twilight of two worlds from the sixth to the ninth hour, and he hung his head and he died. Everything that I am is because of the cross. So tonight, I can't argue, I can't boast in the fact that I have a doctorate degree. I can't boast in the fact that I have a master's degree. I can't boast in the fact that I have a big church or a big car or a big home. All of those things don't mean anything to us tonight. It's only the cross. And he said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross of Christ. And once again, I'm going to glory in the cross of Christ tonight. Number one, because it has changed how I look at the world. How do you look at the world when you understand what Christ did on the cross and where that places you when you are in Christ, it will change how you look at the world. And then when you make your allegiance to Christ, it will change how the world looks at you tonight. And so this evening, I can say with a new meaning tonight, I can sing with a new meaning tonight on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for the crown. And then he says, oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that cross Jesus suffered and died to save, to pardon and sanctify me. And so tonight, I bid you to come to Jesus tonight, realizing what he did for you on the cross. And I bid you to believe what he did on the cross. I believe you to repent of your sins. I believe, I want you to confess.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to extend unto you the... I got some feedback. Hold on. Got some feedback. Okay. I'd like to extend the Lord's invitation. If you are not a Christian, and one cannot be a Christian until you are born again, as the Bible teaches, you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious, but you must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, you must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17, and the facts of the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, you must believe the same. Hebrews 11, 6, James chapter 2 and verse 24, you must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10 and verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian, you've not been faithful in your service to God, we'd ask you to decide again by repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. And we want to encourage you now to visit the churches of Christ in your area. And I'll see you on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
This may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. It may be the last time. I don't know. This may be the last time.
the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time.
From the Lord Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in the study of God's Word. I want to thank both my speakers, Grady Jones, and my co-host Lou Gilbert. Now, Lou got cut off here inadvertently. He was not aware that his call had dropped. So we certainly appreciate his efforts on the show. Certainly thank my brother, Grady Jones, as well. He always does a fine job when he comes on this broadcast. Study of God's Word. I certainly appreciate everyone who's participated on the show this evening. What a blessing. What a blessing it is, man, to put on this type of a broadcast during the middle of the week. We just love God's Word, and we just want to make sure we're sowing the seed of the kingdom as best we can so that in all things God is glorified in our efforts. It is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the lessons that we're taught on this broadcast this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning in this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives, and that He bless you real, real good. You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord Radio Show, and on behalf of my co-hosts Isa Mullins, Shauna Otis, and Lou Gilbert, we really do appreciate your love and support for these radio programs. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Now for all of you that are out there listening,
I'm glad you know me.
I need you just to close your eyes. And I need you to think about your personal relationship with the Father right now. How good he's been.
We're one big
family. And family, let's just give God praise. It's time to worship. Oh, lift up. Lift up holy hands. Oh, you've been so good to me. All because Jesus, you shed your blood out there on the Calvary. Witness up in here.
You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show, episode 188.
Time keeps going by, and I just wonder why I take it seems so long. Look back and it's gone. I thank God this, that He is mindful, He cares that I exist. So I just wanna do all I can do, walking in the light, staying in the light. A down my eyes, I take one look in the sky, I kiss this world goodnight, 'cause God has given me a new sight. Hey, I watch time go by, like a tear falling from my eyes. Oh, pass in time. See, I didn't take my time, spreading my heart a lot. Incline your ear, I hear you in me so much. I feel as I prepare the way before that dreadful day. What shall I do, Lord? What shall I say?
Give them a hand. Oh,
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.